Good morning to you all and welcome to our time of worship here at All Saints. Two very quick notices. If you feel that God is giving you any sort of a nudge during this service, if there are issues that you feel we need to pray through, then the good news is that there will be a prayer team willing and happy to pray with you at the front of the church at the end of the service. If all you need at the end of the service is a hot drink and a bit of fellowship, drinks will be served at the back. Those of you who are at home, good to have you with us, joining us to worship online, but you have to make your own drinks. So, welcome to this time of worship. We shall be continuing our studies as we work through Mark's Gospel, and in particular today we're looking at how we can get rid of fear and turn it into faith. More of that as we go through the service. So, as ever, words in yellow are generally mine and words in white are for all of us. So as we quieten ourselves and put behind us the busyness of the week, set aside the anxieties and the worries may be for the week to come, we come before our holy and living God and we pray, be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. And so if you are able, you may like to stand as we sing that well-known hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I thought the collect for today, the fourth Sunday before Lent. Yes, it is only about 4 weeks and we shall be into Pancake Day and Ash Wednesday and Lent. But this particular prayer I thought would just fit well with this service. It's the collect set for today in common worship. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers, that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. How great that we have such a loving God who's beside us and will get us through so many trials and tribulations, never deserting us. And yet we know that because we are frail and weak, sometimes it all seems too much, and sometimes we do all go astray. But our God is a forgiving God, and so we can pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse each one of us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may like to stand as we declare our faith and our trust in God. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, the source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may like to sit down as we have our reading, and then Jeff will come and be preaching to us.
Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet. He pleaded with him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "You see the people crowding against you, and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Jesus gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you take my words and speak through them, take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and fill them full of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. You may have seen or watched this BBC Two series, highly skilled surgeons performing life-saving, complex operations. And what's interesting is the way the relationship between the doctor and the patient develops. Patients often come expressing their fears about the operation, about their condition, and the doctors try to reassure them. And you will often hear a patient in this series saying, "I am nervous, doctor, but you're the expert. I trust you." And they kind of move from fear to faith. And that, of course, is our theme for today as we look at the next section of Mark's Gospel. Let me do a very quick recap. Mark's Gospel is a documentary in two parts. First half is about who Jesus is, and it culminates in chapter 8 with Jesus saying to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And when they answer, he launches into part 2, what he came to do, which, much to their surprise, involves an operation, a death, and a resurrection. And in this next section, from which we just read a part, we can see people moving from fear to faith. So we have, first of all, the stilling of the storm, which we looked at last week. Then we've got the deliverance of a man possessed by a legion of demons, which we'll look at in the life group notes this coming week, and the woman who touched the coat of Jesus, and the healing of Jairus's, the raising of Jairus's daughter. And in all of them, there is a movement from fear to faith. And at the heart of it, these words of Jesus to Jairus: "Don't be afraid, just believe." I had to take a group of young people once on an adventure holiday to a climbing school in Wales called Plas y Brenin. And the first activity on the first day was abseiling down a 100-foot wall. And they absolutely loved it and wanted to do it again and again. That is, all except one lad who was terrified, and he refused even to go to the top of the wall. But over the next 10 days that we were there, he built up a relationship of trust in one of the climbing instructors. So much so that on the very last day he said, "I'm going to go abseiling." And some of us went to the top of the wall with him, watched him rope up to the climbing instructor. And as he edged backwards towards the edge of the wall, he said to the instructor, "I'm trusting you with my life." And the instructor said, "That's right. Don't be afraid. Just trust me." Trading fear for faith. That's what all these stories are about. And I just want to focus briefly this morning on Jairus. Some years ago, I went on a drama workshop with a very fine Christian actor called Paul Alexander. And he got us to act out, there were about 10 of us, to act out a bit of the story of Jairus. He played Jesus, someone else played Jairus, and the rest of us were the crowd milling round.
And then Jairus comes along and we all part because he's a VIP. He goes down on his knees and he begs for Jesus' help for his little daughter who's dying. We actually had to rehearse that bit quite a few times because the guy playing Jairus, well, he didn't seem that desperate, but he got it in the end and Jesus agreed to go with him. And then the messenger arrives and says, "Don't bother, your daughter has died." And the guy playing Jairus did a very good job of showing the despair that Jairus must have felt. And then Jesus stepped forward and said these words, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And the guy playing Jairus was totally flummoxed by that. He just didn't know how to respond. And there was an awkward silence. So Jesus said these words to him again. And he said, "I don't get it. Believe what? My daughter's dead." Somebody helpfully said, "Well, you've got to believe that Jesus can raise her from the dead." And Paul Alexander, he said to us, "I very much doubt if that thought would have occurred to Jairus. Some Jews did believe in resurrection of the body, but nobody in their right mind thought it could happen in this life. It could only happen on the last day." And then he went up to the guy playing Jairus and he put his hand on his shoulder and looked into his eyes and said, "Believe, just believe in me." And the penny dropped. And we all suddenly realized what it meant. Jesus was inviting Jairus to trade his fears and despair for faith in him for who he was, regardless of what he could do. It was a powerful moment, that, for all of us. I saw this poster on a notice board outside a church in Putney, right on the edge of the River Thames. I thought, that's an appropriate place to have a poster like that. "God throws this lifeline to a world that's drowning. Take hold of it and live. Trade fear for faith." And that's something we need to go on and on and on doing throughout our Christian lives. I used to live in the London borough of Ealing, and my dad was a vicar there. The vicarage was behind the church. On one side was a graveyard, on the other side was an allotment. It was pretty isolated. And one night we were all asleep in bed, and we were awakened by the sound of breaking glass. My dad went downstairs. I followed him. And there in the kitchen, there was glass everywhere, kitchen window wide open. And my dad said he thought he'd seen someone jump over the back fence. So we cleared up the glass. And then my dad said to me, "You go on back to bed. I'm going to sit here till morning." It was about 1 a.m. "And stand guard in case he comes back." I could see the anxiety in his face. But I went back to bed, and in the morning I came down, fully expecting to see him still sitting there, but he wasn't there. He'd gone back to bed. So when he came down, I said to him, "Did you sit up all night?" He said, "No. I started to, but then I said to myself, where is your faith? Can't you just leave it to the Lord Jesus to stand guard for you and wake you up if it's needed? I need my sleep." And I went back to bed. Trading fear for faith. Can we do that when a disaster strikes, when we're all at sea? Can we hold on to Jesus Christ as an anchor? Can we let go of fear and trust him for who he is, believing that somehow, however dreadful, he will work all things together for good? Do we make him our first port of call in a crisis? Do we turn to him instinctively? Or do we turn to him as our last resort? Is it our first response to reach out for him? Because it will show whether we're ruled by fear or by faith. I was talking to a clergy friend not long ago, and he was saying he wanted his congregation to learn this, to go to Jesus as a first response. And he said, I've got this great idea for teaching them about this. So I said, okay, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to get up and preach one Sunday morning, and after about 5 minutes, I'm going to clutch my head and collapse in a heap on the floor, just to see what they'll do. Will they come and pray for me, or will they dial for an ambulance? And I said to him, you can't possibly do that. Not only will you give your congregation a terrible fright, but when you get up and say, I'm okay, I was just testing you, they're going to be so angry, you'll need an ambulance. Do we make Christ our first port of call? Do we instinctively run to the Lord and take hold of him? I was walking on the hills the other day. There was this chap, father, with his little boy running on ahead of him. And the boy suddenly froze. Bounding down the hill was this huge dog heading straight for him. And the boy turned and he ran and he leapt into his father's arms. And I thought to myself, that's a picture of faith. Do you remember Peter when he got out of the boat to walk to Jesus? Well, he had the faith to do that, didn't he? And then he took his eyes off Jesus and became frightened of the wind and the waves. He began to sink. But at least he had the faith to call out, Lord, save me. And the Lord pulled him up. We are like that. You may have been a Christian for many, many years. But we go from faith to fear and fear to faith so often. Will we have more faith next time, like Jairus? Ah, but somebody may say, it was okay for Jairus. The Lord sorted things out for him the same day when he raised his daughter. That's not true for most of us. We often have to wait a very long time before Christ puts things right. We may even have to wait till the day of resurrection, on the last day, before he puts things right. You have only to think about that little boy who fell down the well and was found to be dead. Things don't turn out sometimes the way we wish. But the same Lord Jesus who walked with Jairus on that short distance to his home walks with us on the longer distance, however long the road. Though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear, for you are with me. Remember when Lazarus died? Remember Martha met him? Do you remember what Jesus said to her? Your brother will rise to life. And she said, I know he'll rise to life on the last day. And Jesus spoke those powerful words, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Do you believe this? He said to Martha. And she said, yes, Lord, I do. But she didn't say, yes, Lord, I believe that you can bring my brother bodily out of the grave. She didn't say that. She had no idea that Jesus could do that. What she said was, I believe you are the Son of God. He was her anchor because of who he was. She knew she could trust him. I used to go to a church in Fulham, and I'll finish with this. We had a very gifted lay preacher. He'd been a major general in the army, had a very distinguished career, and then when he retired, he came and joined our church. And he became the secretary, the general secretary of the Boys' Brigade, which had its headquarters just down the road from us in Parsons Green. I used to walk past it every day on my way to school. And on the wall of the headquarters of the Boys' Brigade was this. The logo or the shield of the Boys' Brigade. I know this will mean something to Peter here because he was once chaplain of a Boys' Brigade. And the Major General was very fond of the hymn that goes with and is associated with the Boys' Brigade, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" And he would often quote from it in his sermons. And it was very personal to him, because not only had he faced many dangers in his career, in his retirement, he suffered a very, very painful loss. And he used to say to us, "He's my anchor. Without that, I would drown." And so I want to finish this morning by just playing to you a short extract of this hymn. It's normally sung at a rapid pace to a marching rhythm, but this is a much more reflective version. And it's an invitation, just these words: "How strong is my hold on Jesus? Am I ruled by fear or by faith?"
We have an anchor that keeps the storm steadfast and sure, while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We
in my daily readings at the moment, I'm reading, amongst other things, Ezekiel. I have to tell you, it's quite a long book. I'm finding it really quite hard, But this morning, I reached that bit in chapter 34 where Ezekiel is talking about shepherds and sheep. I had no idea I was going to reach this bit this morning. But he says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock because they don't tend it. I will rescue my flock. I will rescue my flock. And I thought, yes, as we turn from fear to faith, we can sort of see that God, we are God's flock and he will rescue us. So all of that sort of, I thought, clearly God's got things to say to me this morning. So thank you very much, Jeff, for all of that. And so we can stand and we can sing. The Lord's my shepherd, and I will trust in him. Would you like to sit down? All except Patience, who's going to come and lead us in some prayers.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our gracious sovereign, Queen Elizabeth, on this, the anniversary of her succession to the throne on the 6th of February, 1952, on the death of her father, King George VI. In 1952, she requested, Pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. We lift before you that life of service to her peoples, both here and in the Commonwealth, during those 70 years. We thank you that you have given her a heart to serve her people. Encourage us, by her example, to serve one another and to seek the common good. Let us continue to pray for wisdom, strength, and good health for Her Majesty, giving thanks for her life of witness and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the leaders of our nation, particularly those who are currently mired in confusion and uncertainty. We ask for wisdom on all those who need to make decisions on the many political difficulties at this time. As today we think about trading fear with faith, we bring before you all those in financial difficulties, those who are worried and frightened by the projected increases in the cost of gas and electricity, and for those struggling to feed themselves and their families. Draw them to you so that by the power of your Spirit they may find reassurance and peace. Lord, we pray for the spiritual health and welfare of our communities. First, for the well-being of our two churches, that we may be a spiritual family, a house of faith where people are welcomed and nourished. We pray also for the social community of which we are a part, that you would make it a place where everyone flourishes and is cared for. We bring before you all those who ministered to us here at All Saints and St Andrews, and particularly Peter and Jeff, who are with us today. We pray for the health and well-being of Dave, and for Peter Myers, who's preparing for his new ministry in the south of England. May the services and activities this week be the opportunity to reach out to those who have not yet discovered the love that you have for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, in the continuing anxieties about COVID, we ask your protection for all those who work for the NHS and for our emergency services. As they struggle with ever longer waiting lists, we ask for your blessing on the staff who are providing treatment and care, along with those who are waiting for the treatment. Bring your peace to all those who are suffering from ill health in mind or body. May our community and beyond, many in our community and beyond, suffer from loneliness. In your love, relieve them from their fears and anxieties. Let us take a moment to pray for all those who are known only unto us. Lord God, our Father, our prayer this morning is a small pebble thrown into a huge pool of need. We thank you that your love is greater still, and we entrust our prayers to your generous mercy and grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may like to stand as we share the peace with one another. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. And now Jeff will come and lead us in communion.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please sit or kneel for the communion prayer. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this cup may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness,
But in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Body and blood of Christ keep you.
So as we have been fed, let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so we stand, perhaps, for our final hymn, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair. Heavenly Father, you have given us so much, and we owe you so much. And so we offer you these tokens as we offer you the monies paid by direct debit and in other ways, and pray that you would give us wisdom to use them to build your kingdom, to give you glory. So we offer you these tokens in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we come to the end of our service and we go from here, we pray that the Lord will bless and watch over each one of us. And you may like to hold out your hands as a symbol that you want to catch all those blessings from heaven that God will pour down upon us as we say together, the Lord bless us and watch over us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look kindly on us and give us peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with each one of us now and always. Amen. So friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.